All right. Well, we are going to talk. We're going to go from this to talk about trade. Now, this is something that obviously is going to impact all of us in some way, shape, or form. But the extent, I guess, is left to whatever you do for a living or what you purchase. And we're going to talk with none other than former Congressman and honorary co-chair of the USMCA Coalition. We have Eric Paulson on the phone. Good morning, Mr. Paulson. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Good morning. Nice to join you before this wonderful Labor Day weekend.
Right. And where are you joining us from?
I'm actually in my home in Eden Prairie right now, the area I represented for 10 years in Congress, although I was up in your neck of the woods in Alexandria just a week ago, chaperoning my daughter on a cross-country running trip with a lot of her teammates from the school
okay.
here.
Okay. All right. Well, so there's life after Congress, and it's involved in this coalition. Now, can you tell us a little bit about this coalition that you're a part of?
Yeah, actually, the coalition is focused now on helping pass and drawing attention to one of the most significant trade deals that we've seen in recent memory. It's the United States-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, USMCA. It's essentially a NAFTA 2.0. It's the redesign of the original NAFTA that was done over 25 years ago. So it's now a landmark agreement that is going to be updated and modernized to help create more American jobs, helps Minnesota. It benefits our workers. It benefits all Americans in a really big way by leveling the playing field for our exporters. And, you know, Midwestern states like Mexico, who rely on trade with Canada and Mexico, or states like Minnesota that rely on trade with Canada and Mexico are really going to benefit here. So I'm doing what I can to make sure that Congress is actually going to help bring this up for a vote, hopefully this fall, and it'll be a big boost for our economy.
Now, as we look at last year, so I think it was September or so when American, Mexican, and Canadian negotiators kind of reached this deal to replace NAFTA. But I'm not sure of how the process goes. On a daily basis, I'm a radio guy. I don't get into the policy and all this. So where does it go from there? Because it has to be approved by each of those nations before it becomes anything.
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, you know, it was about a two-year negotiating process that was put forward. And I'll give a lot of credit to the trade ambassador, because he was negotiating even 2 years ago with both Democrats and Republicans, knowing that it was important to have this done bipartisanly. And that has led up to this point now, where Mexico has already ratified and passed the agreement in Mexico. They acted in June, and Canada is set to go at any moment. So the United States is sort of the final linchpin in getting this across the finish line. And I think that's really important, you know, whether you're a farmer who is relying on some agricultural certainty, right, in those markets today because of some of the tensions with China, or you're a manufacturer that wants to make sure we're not outsourcing a lot of these jobs to other countries on our border, that these provisions are now going to provide a lot more protection for our workers right here at home. So the United States, hopefully the Congress will act and take action later this fall, and that'll end up having a ratification by all three countries for this agreement before the end of the year.
Obviously, President Trump is pushing for this and instigating a lot of this. You being a Republican yourself, is this politicized? Do you feel like this is a one-sided issue, or is this something that you're getting some support from both sides of the aisle?
Yeah, no, that's the good news about the coalition. You know, the coalition includes a lot of stakeholder groups, you know, and companies that care about this, right? Manufacturers, you know, could be a Cargill or C.H. Robinson or a lot of small businesses or agriculture groups, you know, the corn growers, et cetera. But the good news is that this has bipartisan support in Congress. I think the political dynamic, you know, between the president and Speaker Pelosi comes up, just making sure this gets scheduled for a vote in the House, because the Speaker is the one who sets the calendar and decides, yes, we will take a vote on this on a certain day. I think the votes are already there in the U.S. Senate bipartisanly, but we do need the House to take action, and that is important. You know, we can't let politics get in the way of a landmark agreement like this that is going to help build confidence for our exporters. And, you know, there's new chapters in here for small business. There's new chapters for intellectual property protection, to protect our trade secrets, our inventions, our innovations. And I think that's going to be used as the gold standard as we look to set additional trade agreements and look to work out some of our issues with China and other countries around the world. These provisions are now going to be used as the gold standard.
What do you feel are some of the things that are roadblocks that you need to be able to get through? What are some things that you're facing opposition on with this agreement?
Well, I think one of the things where we're facing some potential opposition is just knowing that the provisions are actually going to be enforced. And that's something I think that the president looked back on the previous NAFTA as our economies have changed over time. If we're going to have trade agreements that are put into effect, we want to make sure they are enforced in a timely and efficient manner. And some of the labor provisions, for instance, now requiring, there are requirements now to help American manufacturing. So if you're an American automaker right now, they could be incentivized to move their shops to Mexico, where workers may earn about $3 and some cents an hour. Now the new agreement is going to require that 40 to 45% of all automobile parts be manufactured by workers who are earning at least $16 an hour. So it's going to help keep jobs here at home. It's going to bring up labor standards, which helps workers, obviously. But we want to make sure those provisions are actually enforced. And thankfully, Mexico has already moved forward to update a lot of their labor laws. So they're putting their money where their mouth is. And I think Speaker Pelosi and some of the Democrats in Congress that traditionally work with labor unions want to make sure that those labor provisions are actually enforced. So that's probably one of the main issues that will receive some focus in the near future.
Well, Eric, you said you were up in Alexandria a couple of weeks ago or so, or a week ago?
Yeah.
You're going to wish you were here right now because, Patty, we have some Lake Country Meats brats in studio right now that we are sampling, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about those.
Today, our maple wild rice brats are here. Now, my favorite brat at Lake Country Meats is the maple cheddar. I mean, people go, what? But it is so good. Lake Country Meats is, these have a little bite. Give them a minute, Joel.
Okay.
Lake Country Meats is the only meat locker in Alexandria, located at 1700 North Nokomis, known as Meat Street, next to Cullen's Home Center in Alexandria. Stop in, say hi to Butch the Meat Man. Now, pick up your burgers, brats, chicken breasts, ribs, steaks, pork chops, seafood, and more for the grill this weekend, right now. Get it right now for the weekend at Lake Country Meats. Now, Lake Country Meats has the best ground beef around, hands down. 85 to 87% lean. No preservatives, no additives, unneeded sodiums or solutions, nothing like that. Just awesome ground beef, and it's $4.59 a pound. Stop buying your ground beef at the big box store with all their unneeded extra sodium, preservatives, additives, solutions. I asked one time, what is the solution exactly? And they said, I don't know.
They don't have them.
It's right on the label.
Yeah.
Not less than 15% solution. Okay, get your ground beef from the meat man at Lake Country Meats. And do I have to say it? First annual Sausage Fest. It is today through Sunday. It's going to be a huge party. We're talking sausage. Live music all 3 days. Sausage. Tons of food. Sausage. Prize giveaways. Several different vendors. Sausage and more. Chandler the meat handler will be there on Friday only. That's today.
Yeah.
You want to see Chan? You better stop out today.
He's like a star now.
Yeah, he is pretty much. Current bands include Rhythm and Rhyme, Downtown Eli Brown, and the Nobles. And there's a bouncy house for the kids there, too. Now, Lake Country Meats is serving up their version of the Italian Dunker for $5. Sliced Italian sausage with Jake's homemade marinara sauce. You can add onions and peppers, too, just $5. Plus fresh brats and hot dogs, $3. Current vendors that will be there include Jim, the local Green Mountain grill provider, Hafner Flowers, the Produce Guy, the Chainsaw Brothers, Doug and Scott Johnson. I mean, if you haven't seen these guys, you got to check them out. They are awesome. The Best Fry Company. And when I say the Best Fry Company, I mean the best fries.
Yeah.
The Alpine Ski Team will be there. Cindy Yell with Urban Escape. Dad and Daughter Concessions will be serving cheese curds and tacos in a bag. And they're famous for both of those items around here. There will be a Mary Kay booth, a CBD oil booth. Damaris Gans from Central Minnesota Realty will be there. The Cub Scouts are there selling Christmas wreaths. Maddie's Boba Teas and more will all be there live today from 11 to 2. It's Lake Country Meets. That's us. And when I say we'll be there live today from 11 to 2, that means KXRA.
There's a theme. I think there was a theme there. Something about sausage.
Yeah, sausage. It's Lake Country Meets' first annual Sausage Fest today, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday from 10 to 5, Sunday from 10 to 3. Stores open till 5, of course, on Sunday. Free roadside parking and free parking at Voyager School. It's just going to be a hoot. Lake Country Meats is open Labor Day from 9 to 7. Get to know Butch the Meat Man, located 1700 North Nokomis, Meat Street next to Collins Home Center, online at lakecountrymeats.com or call 759-2072. Open Sundays 9 to 5, too, for your convenience. So it's this. It starts today, goes through Sunday. I'm taking my chair. I'm wearing my Lake Country Meats t-shirt. My Lake Country Meats t-shirt has a big hog on the back, and it says, yeah, I'd smoke that. And, yeah, I'll be there in full attire.
Regalia. All right. Eric, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Okay. Again, I told you you'd want to be in studio because we had to have time to digest some of these Lake Country Meats. They're fantastic. We do have a caller on the phone, so I'm going to put you on hold. You can listen to it off air here, and then I'm going to put them on. They have a question for you, so just one moment here. All right, good morning. You're on open line. You have a question for Mr. Paulson.
Yeah, I'm listening with interest. I followed NAFTA closely back in the era, and I'm really wondering about specifics. I know that he's on a program and he needs to speak in generalities. I'm not saying he's trying to be evasive at all. I understand there's a lot of minutia in this bill, and I would like to hear about some of it. I think of back in the under NAFTA, how the Canadians were able to jam through a lot of lumber thinly veiled as manufactured goods just by drilling a chaseway hole in them for wiring. You could buy pre-drilled studs that come with a hole in the bottom so that electricians can just feed their wiring through it for their routes, for their infrastructure in the home. And these were all coming through as manufactured goods under NAFTA. So they had a lumber quota, and then they had a manufactured goods quota, from my understanding of it, and they were able to push more lumber through that way. And so and there is other examples that I'm sure even Representative Eric can tell us about too. But I really want to hear some specifics as to how this would be better than NAFTA, because there are a lot of horror stories that a lot of industries were crippled by NAFTA and hurt by NAFTA. A lot of jobs were affected negatively by NAFTA in the United States. So I'm very leery about this.
Okay.
And I'm glad Trump got rid of NAFTA. It's one of his signature accomplishments, in my opinion, and I support him completely in his bilateral trade agreement. So I'm a little nervous to hear that this is more than just bilateral, because when he was elected, he said that he was going to stick to bilateral trade agreements. And this sounds more like a consortium.
Okay.
So I'd like to hear what our representative has to say.
All right. Are you able to listen off air? Okay. All right. Eric, you kind of heard what he said there. Are you able to kind of speak to some of that, some of the things he's curious about?
Well, I think he raises some good points where a lot of the critics of the previous NAFTA were able to exploit certain provisions, for instance, because I think I'm not familiar with the exact details, but he talked about, you know, drilling holes and categories of manufactured goods, et cetera. Now, I will tell you this. From the manufacturing perspective, for instance, I mean, this is 11% of our state workforce, and some of these provisions now that are attentive to wages and some of the requirements for auto parts, for instance, and a new mandate now that 75% of an automobile has to be made in North America is going to be helping us vis-a-vis the rest of the world. So it's not bilateral, it is trilateral, primarily because this is already an update of a previous trade agreement, right, with our top two trading partners in Minnesota, our Canada and Mexico. I will say this, with Canada in particular, there are strong provisions now that open up opportunities for our agriculture now for poultry, for cheese, for milk, for eggs that did not exist before, as well as wine. There are some areas of Canada, for instance, where wine had to be in the back room of a grocery store sold under a separate cash register. So our winemakers were treated obviously unfairly. And so those are some new opportunities, as well as for the first time, we've got a chapter just for small business. And that's the first time for any United States trade deal. And that's really important to a state like Minnesota that sees a large number of our small businesses actually exporting now. And these, you know, 600,000 jobs are tied directly to trade, and these jobs pay higher than average wage level wages. So I think we're going to see wages continue to rise. So it's a really good point, a really good question about where some of the specifics are needed for an update.
Obviously, being a border state to Canada, that seems to be where more of our trade might be happening on the border there. Are there certain things, can you think of some specific stories with small business in Minnesota that you see from what this USMCA agreement would benefit? What are some things there?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, with small business, there are about 513,000 small business in Minnesota, and 87% of Minnesota companies that trade internationally are actually small companies. They're small businesses. That generates, you know, about 30% of our exports. It's a large of $18.6 billion in exports. That's a big factor. So now with a new chapter just dedicated to small business, again, a first for any U.S. trade deal, that's going to help more small companies sell their goods internationally. And that's important. You know, it's not all just large companies that we want to see benefiting. It's the supply chain at the lower levels, and the folks, you know, the folks that have the idea in the backyard, the entrepreneur that comes up with an idea in the garage that may want to export that area, that idea to other consumers around the world, particularly now right on our border in Canada and Mexico.
I guess moving forward with this, because we have just a few minutes here, but moving forward with this, what are the next steps that have to happen for this to be enacted, and what's the likelihood of this happening in 2019 still?
Yeah, I think, you know, mechanically, knowing that Mexico has already ratified the agreement and Canada is set to do so, the administration at some point this fall is going to send up the actual text of the legislation, the several committees within Congress, and it does need to originate within the House of Representatives. The Ways and Means Committee will essentially take up the bill. They'll mark it up. They'll essentially pass it or move it forward onto the full House floor for a vote. We're anticipating that this does need to happen this fall, probably before the Thanksgiving timeframe, because Congress has a few budget issues they have to address before the end of September. So we're looking in October, November. You know, the risk here is the longer there is delay, you know, we're seeing our manufacturers, our small businesses, our ranchers, our farmers experience uncertainty in trade. And this should be, you know, swiftly moved as soon as possible. And so we don't want politics to kind of hang this up in terms of the, you know, the speaker having disagreement with President Trump on some other issues or vice versa. We want to make sure where we have agreement that we actually move forward and just take a vote. If it comes up for a vote in the House, it will pass with bipartisan support. We've got good support in Minnesota on a bipartisan basis, I believe, as well as from other states. So it formally will have to have legislation brought up from the administration to Congress later this fall, and then Congress will start moving it from the committee to the floor.
Now, have you talked with the current congressman from Minnesota about their feeling about this?
You know, I just had some casual conversations with folks. I know that folks like, you know, like Colin Peterson, for instance, you know, he is very supportive of obviously making changes to helping our agriculture community with our exports, right? I mentioned earlier that now we've got easing of restrictions on Canadian restrictions on our U.S. dairy, our poultry, our egg, our cheese exports. That's very important. And, you know, a lot of our folks that represent down here in the Twin Cities area that represent a lot of companies that are engaged around the world in selling American services and products abroad want to see this done. So we need to make sure that we actually, you know, folks actually see all the benefits of something and that maybe one or two things they don't like. It's easy to, you know, it's easy to vote no, but it's important to get to yes to realize where the significant benefits are for our economy and for our workers.
Okay, well, I do appreciate you taking time to talk with us today. Of course, this coalition are working with, you know, I thought of one more question while I was talking.
Sure.
What kind of an impact, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, what kind of an impact is the sticking points that they're having now with the Chinese tariffs, are they carrying over into the negotiations and talks with this?
It's not really carrying over into the talks with an updated NAFTA, you know, with the USMCA. That's the good news. This has already been agreed to, negotiated over a long 2-year period. I do think countries like China are looking to see, is the United States actually going to ratify this? And they're probably looking to see if this actually gets ratified, that it could actually move them to move on their own trade positions, for instance. And I think honoring some of the challenges that we see with China in terms of stealing our trade secrets, stealing our intellectual property, et cetera, knowing that we're serious about doing bilateral or trade agreements now with our existing allies, and using those other allies to potentially confront China on some of the unfair trade practices they've used. So this is leveling the playing field for our American workers and exporters. And I think it's going to help us with other trade opportunities around the world.
Well, this is going to unveil my level of knowledge on the subject, but are pharmaceuticals involved in this at all? Because people always talk, let's go to Canada and get our pharmaceuticals. Is that involved at all with this trade?
Well, it's involved in this sense, is that there's a new provision that will require essentially 10 years of data protection for biologic medicines. And so that's a provision now that brings the data protection in Canada and Mexico closer to the United States standards. We have a 12-year standard where we protect our intellectual property. It helps prevent, you know, foreign firms from stealing U.S. intellectual property. This brings Canada up. They have only 8 years of protection right now. This brings them up closer to our level. And also brings Mexico up, which is, you know, even lower. And so, you know, with the knowledge economy and future medicines and advancement in life sciences, it's really important to protect those patents. And that's going to actually help with new medicine advancement and bringing them up for standards without affecting prices at all in the end, which is really important.
All right. Well, again, we appreciate you taking the time and kind of explaining a little bit about this, and we wish you the best of luck in having a dialogue that you'll be able to talk this through, and we'll see where it goes, I guess.
Well, that sounds great, and you know, wish you the best up in God's country there in Lake Country, and enjoy the Labor Day weekend.
All right, and we'll finish eating these sausages here from Lake Country Meats, and next time you'll have to have some with us.
That sounds good.
All right, thank you. And that is Eric Paulson. He is honorary co-chair on the USMCA Coalition, talking about trade and, as you said, NAFTA 2.0, working on that.